Fresh Takes. Hello and welcome to Don't Evolve Me, the place like Ash, Custom Pikachu, we don't evolve, we just level up, even though according to Ernie in the group chat, I have evolved. We are in our World Turtle phase, apparently. Well, welcome.
Wait,
with the new hair.
Pikachu? I thought we were Ash, Custom Pikachu. What happened?
We're Raichu now? We evolved.
We have to be Raichu then? What the? Or were we Pichu? Now we're Pikachu.
I don't know. I just like World Turtle.
Yeah, Squirtle is the best, but just leave it Squirtle. He gets worse as he gets on.
Well, he put the picture of like the evolution of Squirtle, War Turtle, and Bulbasaur, and I just looked at War Turtle with like the little ponytail with like the little wings, and like I feel like I'm in my War Turtle phase.
Yeah, but Squirtle's the best.
Just watch out. If I have to evolve again, I'm coming out shooting. Just letting you guys know. All right. Talking Andor Season 2 premiere. This is a little bit different from last year and last season and a lot of other TV shows. We're not getting one episode per week. We're getting an arc per week. We're getting three episodes.
Crazy.
This is kind of cool.
I like it.
You know what the show reminds me of? This is my comp. This show is the adult live action version of Star Wars Clone Wars. But it's Star Wars.
Yeah.
Andor. But I mean, like, it's not.
Expecting you to compare it to another TV show. But yeah.
Yeah, it is. Clone Wars live action.
Star Wars. Oh. Okay, that's.
Yeah. So that's what I compare it to. I will say, we kind of talked about this before we went on the air. I feel very dumb watching this show. It takes me so long to figure out who's who, what's going on half the time. So
you're gonna have to help me watch it and rewatch it.
I've had to watch it like two or three times. So I'm like sitting down. I'm like, what is actually happening with all these? This is one of those shows that like it does not dumb it down for you. It just goes. It doesn't really catch you up. It just kind of goes like, hey, these are the characters, these are the people. Once you know who everything is, it's like Rogue One when we did that for the State of Review. Very much that show is so fast paced, or that movie is so fast paced. But like once you actually start to understand it,
what's happening, what's going on, you're like, oh shit.
I'm like, oh, this is.
That's what I think the show does really good. That's why I really like it. Because it's not, I mean, I swear, it's not meant for like a just casual, you can turn it side to the side and do something else, you clean your house. No, you've got to watch every detail. It's great.
You have to watch. You have to pay attention. It's probably why it took me forever to watch season one, because I rewatched the first arc like three or four times. And I will say that arc is kind of boring and it's kind of hard to get a part of it. But once you get a part of it, season one, arc one.
Oh, I think talking about this one this morning. Sorry, I'm coming back.
Season one, arc one, kind of boring. A lot of flashbacks. It's basically like, hey, this is Cassian Andor. This is where he's from, and now this is where he where he was when he was born. This is the origin story, and this is kind of the start of his rebellion journey.
Season, I'm like, boom, you're in it. A year later, which is a little bit weird, but I'll allow.
Oh, it kind of doesn't feel like a season two premiere. It kind of feels like just adding on the season one.
Yeah, that's what I felt like. That's why I said a year later. I was like, it felt like its own. It felt like a continuation. Like there wasn't even a single break at all. That's what I felt like anyway.
Yeah, they're like really. Here we are, new arc. And that's
now let's talk about this first scene, though. You got it, dog.
Let's get into the kind of like what happened to it. So I kind of do different segments. I know that we haven't done the week-to-week part of it. But let's talk kind of like what happened 1 year later after the Ferrix uprising. K- Cassian is back impersonating as an Imperial Tex pilot with a really cool uniform. His goal is to steal a prototype TIE fighter with the lady who is very nervous to be turning over. Yeah. What happened to her, by the way? That's like the one thing I'm trying to figure out.
Oh, dude, she died.
She died.
Yeah.
See, this is why I have to pay attention. My ADHD has struggles with this.
Or at least that's what they hinted at. They didn't show it. It was off screen. But he was supposed to meet her, right? Say, I'm giving you some head start. X amount of time. Mm-hmm. And he meets his people, and they tell her, oh, we killed him. Oh. And then she talks. That's why I love the first scene, too. Like, they don't, like, this is the first time she's helping out. She's super nervous. She's mm-hmm. like, what if I die because of it? And then she dies. And you're like, oh.
That's what I figured would happen. So I'm like, wait a sec, what happened? And then she was so nice, though. They were like flirting a little bit, and Cassian's all like, you know, serious, like, yeah, you know, you got this.
He's trying to make a little bit of fun with it too. You got this, becoming somewhat of a leader. You know, you can see him take a little bit of a leadership role of it.
Growing
becoming
up,
more confident in what he's doing, I think, in a lot of it.
Yeah,
like, he's the balls he takes to jump in this pilot thing. He has no idea how to drive. He's like,
That was kind of like fun. It was just like him shooting everybody in there, and like there's so many scenes like this, like in Rebels and other live action. I think in maybe Clone Wars, you know, trying to escape the hangar bay, and you have to shoot your way. I think Force Awakens had it with Finn and Poe, but this one was kind of interesting. It was like, this is a whole new ship with whole new design. You have to figure it out. And he figured it out. So Cassian Andor, he arrives onto the jungle planet for delivery and is ambushed by people who is not his people. I think they're
trying to fight against the rebellion. I thought this was great.
The Maya Pay Brigade.
Yeah, I didn't remember what their name was, but runs into
him. Look it up.
And that's where he's calling for his friends. They find out, like, your friends are there. They blasted
back
and killed him.
It's like, yeah. I thought this scene was really interesting because, like, or not the scene, but like this group was really interesting because they weren't like a competent group. And
that's kind of what I love about it, because they did this scene in combination with, like, call it the poor rich scene. You had like the poor people trying to fight back, but they're fighting amongst each other. And then you can see the rich people singing like right after that too. And you're like, oh, okay. It's like classic. Kind of a scenario where the struggle comes from a lot. Because, I mean, there's a lot. I took it to real life. So I was like, okay, that makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of people on the bottom, you know, trying to do what's right.
They're clawing their way
struggling.
Up.
Yeah, like, struggling with each other. Like, people will rob each other, these poor neighborhoods or something like that. It's like, oh my gosh. Yes, he does a really good job of.
And then all the rich people are in their own little area, having their parties,
having their little pleasure parties.
And the guy's talking about, like, enjoy the pleasures of the world.
Oh, when we get to that scene, oh, man, that's.
I think. Was that episode two?
Episode two, yeah. So two and three, I got so many. Yeah. That's where a lot of my questions come from, too. Seeing those people. Just kind of getting a reality check of some of the people that are trying to fight the rebellion, the scene of anguish in between all of them before they actually try to make decisions. Yeah, who's going to do what? And I think that was to season one where you have to, you know, you have to be the leader. And they were talking for the bit too. You know, for this to work, you have to lead. This is your time to prove that you can lead.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to prove there's not a single leader.
There really isn't. They lost their leader, and there's like kind of like two subgroups that kind of rise out of this. Let's set up the rest of kind of the scene, the plot. So on the farm planet, you have the Ferrix crew, you have Andor and friends. They're all working as a farmer. They're working for a farmer under pretty much as undocumented immigrants. I believe what is this planet called? Minaru. I could be saying it awfully, But Minoru, they're working, they're trying to just lay low, and the Empire arrives. Something that doesn't happen often. And then Mon Mothma prepares for an arranged marriage for her daughter. And it's one of those
Yeah.
deals where, like, hey, I know what you're doing and I want a defect.
That
But.
dynamic too. Mother and daughter in that.
That whole political, yeah, we're arranging our marriage, we're gonna do the tradition. Yikes.
It's all that kind of stuff. And the mother's like, I want to do this, I didn't want to do it. All kind of feeling. And then the daughter's actually okay with it and really values your father, the love the father gives, even though it's still. Oh my gosh. I totally. Oh, there's so much dynamic in this, dude. Like, it's great.
And it's really crazy because you have, Luthen, and then you have Mon Mothma, two essentially rebellion spies into the Empire. And I think it's really interesting their dynamic, especially Luthen, because like he's to this very like hard edge, like I'm gonna sell my soul for the rebellion. We're gonna do, I will do what must be done. I will kill. I will do all the bad things so that this is a better world. But then when he's like in public. What's up, darling? He's like a
Yeah,
showman.
he's this rich showman of the sales. Like, he's definitely 100% a salesman out there, you know?
And then Mon Mothma is like that, but a very lesser like degree. She's all just ready to go, kind
Quiet,
of
well
quiet.
reserved. Doesn't
Unless,
talk much. Super stressed. You can feel her stress levels as you go through as she tried to make this thing happen. Which I think in that first season where you first see the Mon Mothma and this whole celebration thing, and you see Tae Kolmal, like the first time you see him come in, and you find out that he's basically broke. Rich guy still trying to play rich. Then
So this whole deal's like may sour, and he's like, hey, I might sell you out to the Empire, but
Yep.
yeah. It's
Because he
like,
wants to become rich again. If I sell you out, I can get a bunch of money, basically. And you're like, oh, God.
yeah. It's like,
And it brings in the whole
fuck.
rich dynamic, too, like where people, I feel like rich people do sell each other out, push each other down, try to get ahead because they get hungry for power. That's crazy.
And then it wasn't this Mon Mothma and Luthen trying to like they're considering their options here with this like, hey, we definitely cannot get ratted out here.
I think you get that more in my episode two, but the first episode they just notice each other, and then within a month I just have one small conversation. Basically, Luthen recognizing it. Weird connection that just happened, and he's like, "Okay, what was that?" It's like, "Oh, don't worry, I'll take care of it." Walks away. Nuts. That's the rich people side.
Nuts.
Then you have the poor people side of it, and then the running immigrant side. Crazy weird how you interact with life today. This made me rich people, so.
It is like the richest company. One of the richer like entertainment companies. I think the dynamic is interesting because you have Insurgent Group, you have the Insurgent Group that is like fighting the rebellion. You have the farmer group on the farm planet with the Empire coming in. Then you have these rich bureaucrats throwing a party
Yep.
or arranging a marriage.
Need a marriage. This.
Continuing this episode, Cinta asks Luthen about her partner, Vel Orson Krennic. He oversees a secret meeting of the planet of Gorman due to having a rare mineral. I do have questions about that secret meeting because it was,
Pretty big
secret.
deal.
Yeah, secret Empire stuff. I have thoughts and I think I know what this is coming. My pay surgeons split up in a really. This is like the end of the episode 1 year later, the Mayapei insurgents, they fight over, wasn't it they were fighting over what to do with Cassian, because he's the only one who knew how to like fly the plane, but they had to get out of there, or the TIE fighter.
Yeah, so the only one knew how to fly the plane, but they said they could figure it out, right? We can figure out how to fly this thing. We don't need him. Trash. I haven't eaten in a couple days yet. And
It's
Cassian's
raining.
all like, try to find food and water. Like, let's try to get, stuff here. There's got to be something around here first. Worry about
I love.
yourselves and being a leader trying to tell them the right direction to take, and you just completely disregard them, like this little
I thought it was
bitch,
really
you know?
interesting
It's like,
because you have one
yeah, right.
guy who's just like, let's fucking kill him. Like, kill him off. And the other guy's like, no, he's our ticket out of here. He's gonna, and like, I should be the leader because I was the second in line because of this person who told me that I was gonna be second in line. And then just blows up into them shooting each other and splitting up the group. And that is how they, and Cassian gets taken hostage. And that is how they end episode one, 1 year later, which this, I will say, I really liked how they could have done this episode by episode, and that might have been the best way to do it. But I like thinking of these three episodes as like one episode in particular.
I hope it was like one full episode too. I never looked at those three, so just a weird little recap between the three episodes coming up. But I think it was kind of neat. I kind of like that one, two, three. It gave me a little more detail of each person's situation while still keeping me well informed, you know? I think that was pretty cool. But
All
some
right, the
people may think differently.
next episode, the Sagrona Tima. What is it? Sagrona Tima. Forget how they said it. They said it in like a really particular way. I'm like, this sounds like a legit like holiday. A set like a tradition. Set tradition. All right. Cassian is held prisoner as insurgents split off and are at a stalemate. Some are at the ship, some are at the shelter. It's raining. This is where Cassian's just like, "All right, you guys, it's not going to rain all day. Let's tarp up some water. You say you're thirsty? Maybe someone go for hunting. They're really
Yeah,
quiet over there."
this is where he gets like super like leadership with they should be doing to help themselves. And
He's
just
so
because of who he
calm.
is, and yeah, I'm so calm about it, telling them what they should do. And like I said, instead of being like reasonable thoughts, they're like, no, he's a villain. Don't listen to him.
Yeah.
He's trying to distract us. He's trying to get in between us. You're like, what are you talking about? Trying to save your life, you idiots.
What's really funny is like he got like to them without even like trying. Just like his existence destroyed this
Yep.
group.
Yeah, exactly. And he's trying to help them out too, and they're like, don't even care. They're like, nope, no way this guy would be willing to help us out. He's just flying out of the like, making other people argue for it too. It's even better.
On Minaru, the Empire officially arrives to check all the papers and work of all the workers. Bix Brasso and Will arrange to move from another planet. They also work with the farmer who's like, "I'm not going to sell you out."
What
Totally
about the
sold them
Empire
out.
meeting? I think came right after the first scene.
Oh yeah, was
About
that? I thought it
like
was in season one or episode
season
one.
two.
Sorry.
I thought it was episode two where they all have meeting talking about what they're going to do. They need to harness the power to give back to the people, to control the people. I was like,
Oh, I definitely know where we're
so
going with
what kind of political shit is this? This is great.
I'm pretty
One, is
sure
it
it's
super
episode one.
political? Oh, what's episode one? I thought it
I'm
was like
pretty sure it
maybe
was
two.
episode one. We're
It's
gonna get
super
more of that.
political.
Yeah, we don't get much more of it. We do get Daedra and Cyril now living together. They're preparing for social events. We get to see their interaction. We get to see Cyril being like the leader
Boss bitch.
of. Yeah, he gets to be the boss. He's like, well, one day, a couple of years ago, I was standing right where you were. I got to work at that desk, and then I found an inefficiency, and look where I'm at now. Now I'm the boss. Yeah, that whole vibe going on. Good for those two, by the way. They found happiness in the Empire. I don't know if they're happy, but.
Leadership looks good. I think he enjoys having a strong person that can stand up for him. The way she stood up to his mother,
Oh
that
yes,
was
that
great.
scene.
That made me feel so good because I don't know why. Maybe just his mom annoys the fucking shit out of me. And I was like, gonna put that mom in her place for a second. She's being a little weird.
The mom does like what everybody does too, just like continues to play the game. Like, oh, she definitely goes on, doesn't she? Like, oh man,
Yeah.
no. Deja knows her shit. She'll call you out in every fucking thing, and I really like Deja for it.
I
Even
do.
though,
I feel like she's a
even though
villain, but
she's
I'm
a
like, no,
fascist, yeah. I'm
I
like,
really like her. But at the
The
same
show's really
time,
good at this show's really good at like making you like the Empire. Like you like some of the people involved, even though like they're kind of not great people. But yeah.
I mean, the overall, arc of the Empire, horrible, but like people, I think does a good job of showing like just because someone's like, that's right. Politically, that's why it's so good. It's like Game of Thrones. They
Little
put
bit,
like
yeah.
political notions into it. And it's great.
Speaking of political notions, Luthen and Mothma, this is where they discuss the possibility of Coma's defection, different options, and then the episode ends with Cassian, or they decide to end the stalemate, but instead of battle, they to do
Rock,
Star
paper,
Wars
scissors.
versions of paper, rock, scissors,
Pretty
and
much whatever they
with
scissors
like.
were. Best of five or whatever it was.
Best of nine? I don't even know what they were going to. And then Andor just makes the smart play and he's like, you know what? I'm gonna just
Andor's
slip
like,
these
you.
guys.
I try to help these people. They're kind of dumb. I'm out. That's exactly what he's like.
It. He slipped out and they're like, ah, the pilot, he's gone. And there goes the ship. And a bunch of them are dead for like no fucking reason. Cassian Andor
And then they
plays it.
fought again after they saw Andor get away. You're
Yeah.
like, oh, yeah.
Not for the rebellion. All right, last one. Last episode, Harvest. Cassian contacts Clea and is able to kind of understand there's danger on Mina Roo. Deja and Cyril host dinner with Cyril's mother. Leja gets betrothed, I should say. Not married, but officially, like, it's not technically they're married, but it's like they're officially like entrothed to each other.
Yeah,
It's a
paper
grown-up
rock, scissors,
team,
yeah.
basically.
Well, besides, there's one
But
story.
anyway,
I forgot what the beginning of this episode was.
it's
That
over.
speech
It.
by Mon Mothma's husband.
Oh yeah, about the pleasure.
About, like, the good times, the bad times, the depression. Just, like, enjoy it. Oh, I was like, that was good.
I really liked it because it was like I forget who the person was half the time. Because I forget, sometimes I forget like where everybody's allegiances is. But I kind of like, I understood it as like, you know what? For our time, where we're at now in our society, I'm like, I really like this speech. But also, I could see it as like a rich person be like, oh, look at all those pores and the bad news. This makes me really feel sad. But you know what? We're rich. Let's go party. I also saw it from that perspective too.
I mean, I saw it from both perspectives. I get like the suffrage, he's talking to his wife, and then the whole speech, and then of course at the end of the show, which we'll talk about how that all ended. And we'll get there.
I
The way
enjoyed
Mon
the
Mothma
ending.
handled it, I really enjoyed the ending. It's like, oh yeah, there's so many. We'll get there.
So the part
There's so much stuff in between.
Minoru, Team Andor plan to leave, but the Imperial officer who keeps asking Bix, and this was in episode two, where's your husband? Why is he not around? Would you like to go on a
Oh
trip with
yeah.
me? Yeah, he makes a move on Bix, and Bix promptly kills him. And I will say, this is like one of those scenes where I'm like, oh, we
They
never
went
had
there.
this, like we never had this type of situation on, like this is Star Wars. He's fully trying to rape her right now, and
Yep,
okay, this
like
is
they
a
actually
thing.
went there with the show. Like,
But it's
I was
like
surprised they went
real.
that far. It's like, yeah, it's real life.
I mean, this is what war is. This is what happens. And it was kind of like set up like, oh yeah, he's doing his thing. We're all gonna, handle these people. They're gonna be their people with a bodyguard. And she promptly kills him. And I'm like, go for
Good
Bix.
for
Yeah.
her. Yep.
Fuck them.
Broke her a little bit, but.
The farmer sells him out. Brasso, in the middle of all of it, tries to escape. He
Sells him out because of his
dies.
girl's crushed. That's He's going to get crushed.
Yeah. Brasso
Trying to protect his
dies.
daughter. That's
Is
another dynamic there, too. I was going to ask you
Brasso.
about that.
I forget. I always
Brasso
took
was
it
his.
as. Was it his brother or adopted brother?
No, that was his buddy in the workplace. Helped him
Yeah.
escape originally. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I thought too.
And
I'm
his
like,
brother.
they're
He
just
has a
close.
brother.
They're stepbrothers, right? Stepbrothers?
Yeah. Yep.
Because like I saw that they were like someone mentioned brother. I'm like, I didn't think they were brothers. I thought they were just friends. But then I realized Marva, probably adopted. They're brothers in a figurative
Brothers in a
sense.
way of, yeah, in the way, I mean, I guess adopted brothers.
Yeah.
Step brother? Counts. I don't know what you call him.
Counts. Counts.
What is your adopted brother called? Is it technically a brother?
Yes. Yeah, brother.
Should we say it?
Andor arrives in the nick of time, and the TIE fighter promptly kills off, showing off his skills with the cool TIE fighter. Bix and Will are saved. They fly off. Luthen then tells Mon Mothma that they are going to kill Colma. Cinta is then the one who takes what's his name again? Colma away, and Mon Mothma with the news. Takes a
Yeah,
couple
Cinta,
shots.
the look that Bell gives Cinta when that thing too, like, ooh, dog.
And the music plays, and Mon Mothma kind of takes a shot, cries a little bit, and just dances the sorrow away. And the episode ends. And I will say, you know what vibe this ending gave me? This is a good comparison, by the way. It reminded me of Mass Effect,
Yeah,
the
you told
video
me about
game.
that.
It reminded me of Mass Effect with the music, because Mass Effect in the games, when they go to clubs, that type of music is playing, and that's basically what I was thinking of. But I really liked how this show ended this. Because it's like this uplifting, like happy music, but you know it's not happy. You know that this
Oh,
is like
you know, like
sorrow.
shit's about to hit the fan. That's what's crazy about it. Like you definitely have that sense, like, uh-oh. I couldn't control Tacoma. You have to kill him. He's not very comfortable with that because that could cause more havoc and more, things to have to cover up. And you're playing a game of, like, cover up the chicken. She's definitely nervous for her own life and her own family and all the stuff that they're getting involved in.
I mean, father-in-law's dead. Her daughter's father-in-law's going to die.
Yeah, and then she's gonna drink it away. She's gonna party it and drink it off and hide it. Just
You
let
have
go.
Andor and friends. They have to get out. Like, they escape with, Brass. Andor saw Brasso died.
So
Bix.
practical, like, dude, Cassian, man. That guy either has the biggest balls of steel you've ever seen. Ice cold, like he's like
I think
he,
it's
So
a.
he's full in on the mission. He's like, I'm in.
It's Survivor, I think, at this point. Like, he's just. It happens. I'm hurt. I'm shocked, but, like, we have to go on and survive. I've seen so much death that this is just another one. Like, that's how I took it. Like, he didn't have time to grieve. It's, let's go.
He pretty much was like, this is possible. It's possibly
And he was
worth it.
trying. And he was trying to hide Bix from it too. He's like, "We can't react right now. We just have to go. I will tell you the sad news later. We will react later, but right now,
We gotta go. Super practical about
it's
it and just like, let's go. Scary cold, but also like, I like the realism where he's like, if I don't, I'm unlucky dead. I'm all gonna die.
right.
He's calculated and cold. Love it.
I've got some questions, and then we can talk more about things we love, things we don't like. What's the importance of the TIE fighter?
To see technology, I think, right? That's going to be important.
This isn't a new story, and when I say it's not a new story,
Yep.
this is. I've watched all Rebels. I watched all of Clone Wars. This isn't Rebels. This is like a new or a relatively like. This is a storyline that happens in Rebels, so I'm like, is this a tie-in to Rebels? Because they've had a similar TIE fighter prototype. Is this another TIE fighter? Like, it's just is this something that the Empire is just massively expanding multiple projects at a time because they can? What's the importance of this particular TIE fighter, or is it just set up for this story?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. If the TIE fighter is significance, but I imagine it has to have some sort of significance of some sort. Some sort of knowledge or some sort of something. It's kind of my thought. Knowledge of the empire, knowledge of a weakness. I mean, this is where they start getting into where to get these plans in the first place or something like that.
I took it as, like, the first pilot was the one who gave him the plans because she defected. That's what I took it as. At least, like, that's how they got it. The importance of it, because it's not even the ship they were trying to steal. That's another thing, too. They weren't trying to steal that particular ship. They're trying to steal another ship. So what's the importance of the one they were trying to steal? Is that the one that was on, what is it? I forget the planet that that Ezra's on. Ezra Bridger. Remember what that planet is?
Oh, gosh, yeah. What is that? Shoot. I have to look it up.
Yeah, because that's where that's where the other TIE fighter is, too. So I'm just like, okay, is this the same storyline, or are they just kind of repeating a similar storyline? I'm like, it works worldwide. It works. It's fine. All right, Donald, do you have a question for me?
I do have a question. Just when it comes to kind of the funding of the whole rebellion here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Luthen has a bigger scope in mind to get funding?
Bigger. Oh.
Like, I'm thinking theft.
Like, so another score that's going to help them?
Another score that's going to help them more or less than relying probably too much on Mon Mothma.
Probably.
Theft to get Mon Mothma covered. That's what I think it's going to be. I'm wondering what your thought process is. What's a Luthen's play? Because he didn't really play his hand other than killing Tacoma.
I imagine the next...
up to?
Hey, it's one of my questions. What is Luthen and Mon Mothma planning? Particularly Luthen. Yeah. That's a good question. I don't know. I imagine there's going to be a lot more consequences with them killing Coma. I think the next couple arcs is going to deal with those consequences and deal with the pressure of the Empire on Luthen. I feel like I wouldn't be surprised if we get Luthen's death this season. And I wouldn't be surprised if the season two... Yeah. Like, this is the last of the Andor series, right? This was going to be a 5-season thing. They made it 2 seasons. They made it very, like... They're going to do a bunch of time skips with arcs. Luthen is never seen again in Star Wars. I'm pretty sure season two ends with Luthen's death. And then Luthen's sacrifice for the greater good, which is probably somewhat getting to the plans of Death Star.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing he's got to sacrifice for something.
So what is he planning? I'm assuming his plans is to cover up, and I'm assuming there's going to be pressure, and I'm guessing that pressure is going to be from Daedra. Speaking of which, my next question. What is with Gothron? What is with the secret meeting stuff? Is just this more Death Star? This has to be Death Star.
I think it's Death Star pilot, right? You mean the beam that kills planets, right?
I mean, Rogue One's about that.
Yeah, they say it's for the people, right? The power for the people. I mean, really, I'm thinking more power to power a giant machine. Just planets, really. You know, I'm thinking it is.
Well, to control people.
Give them a story of planet to build a planet destroyer, basically. It's a risk, I think, that they're looking to play. And what it's going to take to get that, you know, core of whatever that planet is they're on, they're trying to dig up the outer is called. But that's what I see it as. It's the
Gothron.
Energy. Yep. It's where a big source of energy is from. I think that's where that comes in.
I'm wondering if this is Kyber crystal or if this is some other material that they need. Because the prisons in season one was parts for the Death Star, correct?
Yeah, that was parts for it.
So I assume this is just more Death Star stuff. And I assume these storylines kind of come together at the end.
Yeah, I imagine they're all going to come down into the crash. And that's going to be the planet that gets destroyed at the end. I have no idea.
I don't know.
kind of fun to watch it play out though. It's like a foreshadow to World One, which is kind of cool.
Yeah,
makes me appreciate World One even more.
this show reminds me of Better Call Saul. In the sense that, like, this show isn't about, like, what's going to happen, because we all know what happens. Better Call Saul, you know what happens. You know that Saul gets caught at the end. You know that there's going to be an ending at the end of it. You know what happens in Breaking Bad. But it's not about what happens. It's about how it happens. It's about the entertainment, the joy, just the process of how Saul got to where he got to. And I feel like this show is the process. It's not about what happens. It's about how Cassian Andor got to the position where he was one of the main reasons that the rebellion got the plans for the Death Star, and which ultimately destroyed the Death Star.
Yeah.
And that's what this show is going to be about. And it's all about the ins and outs of the Empire. It's about the ins and outs of the rebellion and how they work off each other to destroy each other. And it's fascinating.
The other question I came up with is pretty good for you to deal with all this stuff too, is does Mon Mothma crack?
Ooh, no.
Don't think he does?
Maybe a little bit. I think
Okay,
we
I
see
think
the
I'm on the other side.
cracks.
I think Mon Mothma gets caught and cracked by her husband or something like that.
Isn't Mon Mothma
Some supplement.
alive in Rogue One and also in Ahsoka?
Yeah, but I think she still cracks a little bit, but that's what makes her stronger.
Fair. I think I wouldn't be surprised if we see the cracks. I wouldn't be surprised if we see the presser. I just don't think. I mean, she obviously doesn't die. She also obviously doesn't cracks completely. But yeah, just like Gus Fring in Better Call Saul, we see a little bit of the cracks, but that is ultimately how she's molded into the politician that she is.
And then, do you see Luthen as a good or bad force for the rebellion?
Good.
Yeah. See, that's what I think. But if you go online and see the debate, when I was looking at it, people are always like, Luthen's got to go down. I'm like, what? Am I watching a different show? I think Luthen would be the ultimate person that's willing to sacrifice himself for the greater good.
Luthen does like the
He's.
dirty work. He will set
Yeah.
people up to do the dirty work. He's going to do what needs to be done, and it's not going to look good in public. It's not.
But there's so much flack against how Cassian's gonna stop Luthen. Like, what? What are you guys talking about online? You know what I'm
I
talking
mean,
about? Have you
maybe.
seen some of these posts? I'm like,
I could. No, I haven't looked too deeply. It's one of those things where when I do the podcast, I don't de dive deep too deep into what other people
oh,
are saying
gotcha.
because
You
it's
want
into
your own
like the
thoughts of it?
afterwards. Yeah, I want my own thoughts first before I
Yeah,
kind of start
exactly.
projecting. And then like when we get into like the conspiracy talk for like next year, that's when I want to dive into the weed and see what other people are saying. Do I think Luthen or Andor are going to have like a battling out over philosophy? I definitely could see the show going there. Does Luthen strike too far into the bad moral side of things? I could see it, but you know who's really like the bad guy on the good side? Who really like is like the perfect? And we didn't even talk about him because he showed up in, I'm pretty sure, episode one. Saw Gerrera. Saw Gerrera is like the radical, rebellion's leader. He's pretty much like he'll straight up just kill people, even if it doesn't even benefit the rebellion. He'll kill them if he thinks it might.
Yeah, to add anything to it.
Yeah,
Oh, that's
like
a good point.
he doesn't. He's like one of those. Think Jet from Avatar. I don't care if I have to kill good people to kill the bad people. Like that's Saw Gerrera. I
Why
don't
do the
think
bad people
Luthen.
die, right?
Yeah, and I think Luthen's one of those like I will kill a whole town if I have to, but I'm not looking to do that. And like I'm not doing that unless I'm pressed to do it. Luthen's one of those I will do what's necessary, but
I'll do
I'm
what it
not
takes,
outright
yeah.
yeah, but I'm not outright evil. Or I'm not outright like radical. I'm not looking to kill these type of people. kind of like how Sagrera is. My last question is, what's next for Andor and Friends? Where do they go from here?
You know, that's a good question, because now they're leaving on another planet to get some escape.
Mm-hmm.
To escape from places. I see Cassian meeting up with Luthen, and they have some sort of discussion.
Yeah.
I feel like it's more of an ultimate plan discussion. Like, what are they going to do? Things are collapsing. Doesn't seem like they're going to win. Seems like they're going to be taken, you know. I could see them more scheming together, more of a team leader kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where Cassian is
I
the
could
true
see a time skip.
Leader over. Yeah, time skip too. I don't know. It came out today, didn't it?
No, it comes out 2 days from now, Tuesday.
Tuesdays, yeah.
From one when we're recording this. No, that's Last of Us. I'm going to watch that as soon as we get done.
Sunday at 7 p.m., yeah.
Oh, Tuesday.
9 p.m. or 9 p.m.
Just so you guys know. Came out on my birthday. I got two birthday gifts this year. I got Andor Season 2 premiere, and I got Oblivion surprise release coming out. Playing that game. It's cool.
Looks fun. Looks great.
It's...
I had one more question for you.
Go for it.
The Drowning Sorrows. You know, that Mon Mothma has at the end. How much of a reality is that for a lot of people living in their current situation in today's life?
God, 90% of us? I don't know. Yeah, how much of us are awakened? How much of us are aware of what's going on? Maybe not 90%. At 50%?
I was going to say, there's quite a few people that I know that, you know, do certain things just to, you know, keep themselves out of it, out of life. I'm like, You know what? This is so real for a lot of people out there. And I just keep on thinking, like, oh, yeah, there's so many people that would just drown themselves.
I can
whatever they're dealing with. And it's like,
I can imagine a lot of our politicians right now are in that mindset. And Mon Mothma is more or less like she's a senator in a fascist regime. Like I don't know. It's a lot of us. There's a lot of us probably going through that. All right, Donald.
All of those people, all these skeptical, all those people who are going through these sort of tough situations too. It's that was
I think for those who are aware of like what's going on, I think they're all in that moment. But for those who don't know what's going on, it's just another day.
Yeah, it's another day to live. Like, I mean, there's a lot of people who's at that party just to be at that party too. Like, There's no way they knew everybody.
Well, that's just like for the rich. It's all the same to them. Rebellion or empire, republic, like they're rich, they get to do whatever anyway. Whereas like for, you know, the random tourists, you can be fine or you can be sent to jail forever in order to build parts for the empire. Like that's just fucking wild. It is a very stark difference.
Fun to watch your show, that's for sure.
I will say there's a lot of comparing, contrasting. Even Last of Us Season 2, even Daredevil Born Again, a lot of comparing, contrasting of like real world to now. Like it fits a lot of it.
Right?
All right, let's get into ratings, MVC, MVP, and then I want to hear your take on Thunderbolts. Just your brief take, what you can take, because you get to watch it early. Congratulations
it
to
was
you.
Awesome, dude.
Basically, you get to say whether or not I should be looking forward to watching it.
All right. Yeah. So we'll do our MVPs first, and then I'll talk Thunderbolts.
All right. Ratings. Yep. Let's go ratings. I wrote 4-, but I'm going to change that. Because it does, like after like thinking about it, putting some time into it, I don't think it's 4-. I think it's a 4+.
Yo, I put it as a solid 4. So I was like... it's super solid. I say the time jump's a little bit weird, seeing everybody in a total different light, especially like Belle and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit jumpy in that kind of case, but it is still fast-paced enough for me, so entertaining. I think there's some little cleanup of some storylines, things like that, but other than that, the whole cinematography of it all, the idea...
The cinematography is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Just like, rewatching it, and just like focusing on it, some of the shots are just so dope. And what I think is really cool is like it is CGI in the background, but they do so much between the shots, between like the camera angle, the just the practical effects, the practical sets,
Oh, it's
that
so good.
it takes away from the fact that like, oh, even though the background CGI, there's so much happening with the shots and the cuts and the transitions and the action that like I can't even tell. Like it's not hard for me to get really immersed in that world. And I do, it's just a really good looking world. I really love the different settings.
Still, I forgot to even talk about this. No Jedis yet, man. It's even better.
You don't
It's
need
so real.
Jedis.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it is. Yeah, it's like a realistically feelable Star Wars story. Yeah, the cinematography, the shots, and everything come out beautifully. Like, all right, I like this one. I'm cool with it. You can keep on going anywhere.
The music was really good. The acting is really good. The writing. I really love the writing of the show because it's just people don't speak the same as if like every other TV show. It's very genuine dialogue. It seems like these are people who live in different places, come together, and they're not the same, like they don't all speak the same.
And the passion, like you could tell, like each person is playing a part in their own passion and their own, what they're trying to do to survive too. We got Luthen, we got Mothma, that kind of interesting dynamic. We got Bell, the extroverted of Luthen over there. The way she approaches the situations, it's just the rich son. You get Cassie Andor, the cold, ice cold,
Yeah.
and statistical. It seems like.
Calm, cool, collected.
Yep.
All right, MVC, most valuable character. There is a trend that seems to happen is that the main character, the name character, the show character usually wins, especially with the shows that aren't as broadened with its characters. This show is pretty broad, but the focus is mostly on
Definitely indoor.
Cassian Andor. For MVC, does any other character beat Andor? Because he's in my number one.
I mean, Andor, of course, is the MVC of the show, but if I had to choose somebody else, also I'm just intrigued by, want to know more, just want to learn, just like what's in their head, what are they planning, like what does their process look like? Luke.
Oh yeah,
Like,
Luthen's on the
we know the
list.
situation.
He's on the list, but I don't think he was on there enough to be MBC. I put Bix as
There's.
number two because I'm like she had the other big moment of defending from her attacker. But I'm like it has to be Cassian Andor. He saved the day at the end. He's the story was on his, stealing of the TIE fighter and escape of the insurgents.
Yeah, I mean, MVC definitely is Cassian. There's no other choice, right? I mean,
There
but
really isn't.
Luthen, Bix is pretty good up there. I mean, I like all the characters. There's not a character I'm like, yeah, get him off screen. I like the dynamic with Deidre, see what their story arc is, where they're going to go. I mean, every character I think I'm interested in.
I want
They have a
Deidre and
problem.
Ahsoka or Mandalorian. I'm gonna say that. I want Deidre back. I
Yeah,
want her
there
to
you
show up
go.
to be a villain. She would be such a good Mandalorian villain.
She'd be a good villain,
Just
just
saying.
general. She plays it well.
I mean, what if she's the Mandalorian and Grogu villain at the end?
What if she's not even a villain?
Maybe,
She would just
maybe
boil
she
up to the Empire,
turns.
remember?
Maybe that's how
Just
season two does. She
that's all she ever
ends.
knows. Yep.
Right, MVP. I had a hard time with this one. Most valuable villain. I thought there was a lot. I thought I have a list of like three. Tacoma was up there. The insurgents, the group, was up there. And then I wrote this as my number one, but I'm not sure of it. The Imperial dude that tried to rape Binx. To me, he
I
was
mean,
the
definitely.
most.
He's definitely the biggest villain of everyone's arc. I mean,
I
he
didn't know who
deserves
else
what he
to put
got.
for most
Yeah.
valuable.
That's tough because there's like three different arcs of villains in the whole story that they just did.
Yeah.
There's no like one main super villain other than, it's the Empire.
Who would you
I'm
say
going to
that?
say.
Is it Take Halfma? Coma?
Tacoma. I mean, I would say Tacoma, but something's telling me there's someone. That whole party has me on like the weird. I don't trust anybody in that party. Or
Yeah.
part of that party, and like all those guys, whether it's Tacoma, her husband, the guy that bought him that rich statue. This that whole. I'm just gonna say that party people, those rich folk. Don't trust him. I don't like him. The whole something's up. Don't like it.
Well, we will see coming soon. All right, Donald, thank you. Let's do Thunderbolts.
Thunderbolts. All right. I'm a little biased, so I might be a higher. Like I said, I've only seen it once. I
Well,
enjoyed it.
aren't
I
we
was too
all?
anticipated because I got to see it early. So, I'm trying to take the most objective approach to it as I could, but. I give it a 4- for a film for Marvel. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was great. Huge fan of the Bucky. Anything that he's a part of. I like the team they kind of put together.
Is
Anytime you
it?
get a team of misfits, it reminds me. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Does it
Let's.
surprise you at all? Because we had some guesses to. Is there something with the asterisk? Is it worth being hyped for?
Does it surprise me at all? I mean, there's a lot of surprising things. It's not what you expect, in that sort of sense of the way. So it's
Not
a
a.
good surprise. It's just it's good.
Even with the
Ish.
asterisk?
Love it.
Is that in
I
play
have
at
no idea.
all? You
I
know
have
what
no
I
idea
mean?
what you're talking about. Nope.
You're
I will
hiding something
say
from me.
it's like Suicide Squad, but like a million times better, but not those Suicide Squad-ing. It's not like someone put together this team. It's more of this
Natural.
band of forgetful tier three shit muggins that are like, fuck this, we can do it. Not that it's great. Basically,
Okay. Does it give
the
you
side
hope
character story
for the future?
of Marvel? Well,
MCU moving forward. We have Fantastic Four. We have Avengers. Doomsday. Does this give you hope for these big events coming up soon?
does it give me hope? I'm going to say, I don't know. As of recently, some of their films and stuff that they came out with, I've been really disappointed in, like the Marvel and stuff like that. It's hard to buy me back after a couple of weird things they've had
Captain
happen.
America.
Captain America, like, I feel like some of that stuff is choppy. I feel like
Have
they
you
have a
watched
good.
Daredevil yet?
No, that's what I just started watching recently. So I'm going to
I'm
basically
curious.
binge watch it.
I'm curious to hear your thoughts on Daredevil.
But does it give me hope? I'm gonna be honestly gonna just say right now, not really. I think I'm still on Team Feige. I think the movie was a 4-, like I said. It was a good movie, but I still think Feige is trying to control too much, and it's time to be maybe put him in check.
Okay.
He needs to be humbled. I think
Yeah.
he's trying to put together something really, 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 really big, but he's not executing it well this time. In my opinion, I mean, this one film, I wouldn't be able to give a full jump and say, like, hey, this film is turning everything around. There's obviously hope for me with the Fantastic Four and X-Men and all that stuff
Yeah.
coming on. It's just,
Think the
I don't have the
state of the
faith that I used to have.
Yeah, I think the fate of like the MCU is really on Doomsday and Secret Wars. Like if they can deliver on that, we're back in. But if they can't, I don't know how we continue to go back to Marvel. Like it's
I think that's why they brought the Russo brothers.
think so too. Which I think is a good move on their part. Let's bring back people who did this well the first time. And they also said we want to be back for Secret Wars, and they're making it happen. So, I don't know. We'll see. I'm excited to watch Thunderbolts next week. We all have to review it together on top of Andor Season 2, Arc 2.
It'll be
It's
good.
weird to say.
Thunderbolts. I'm going to watch it again on Thursday this week. So
Also,
get a more of a normal view of it.
one little tidbit. T-Wolves, man, up 3-1 against the Lakers.
Yeah, buddy. Woo.
Never faced LeBron James in a playoff series in the 20 years he's been in the league. You know, half of it or most of it, he was in the Eastern Conference. Really is one of those players that I've always cheered to lose for reasons. And I'm going to be really happy if Anthony Edwards can be the reason why the LeBron James lose again. So.
Yeah, I'd be happy with Anthony Edwards taking that. Anthony Edwards, I like Anthony Edwards. I like
I
his
do too.
attitude. I like his Minnesota players. Some sort of sauce with them, you know.
You know,
I always think they're always too soft. A lot of Minnesota players, you
you
know.
know what, you know who he reminds me of?
And you.
KG a little bit, but Monkey D. Luffy, man, he's going to be king of the Pirates. I think Anthony Edwards, face of the league, it's coming. He's going to be the guy, and I really hope you can take Minnesota to the promised land. All right, Donald, thank you very much. We are signing off. This is your host, Jake Scherbing. Guest,
The
Donald
Don
Johnson.
McNuggies.
Andor season 2 premiere. What'd you think? Let us know. We're saying 4 minus 4 plus 4, and McDonald's Coca-Cola endorsement as well. All right, thanks everybody.